A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and honestly, it's the kind of thing that started more passive-aggressive kitchen standoffs than anyone wants to admit. He and his wife need a shared grocery system, both on Android, and the core requirement is beautifully simple. Maintain a list of their staples, hit a button when something runs out, and have it auto-populate a shopping list so whoever's at the store knows exactly what to grab. He also floated NFC tags. Tap your phone on a labeled tag to mark something as empty. But he's already skeptical about the practicality of that, and he's right to be.
The "We're out" button. It sounds so obvious. You finish the milk, you press a button, milk appears on the shopping list. And yet, when you actually start digging through the Play Store, it's shockingly hard to find.
It's the domestic version of the call is coming from inside the house. The friction isn't in the shopping. It's in the moment someone pours the last of the orange juice and just puts the carton back in the fridge.
Empty carton in the fridge. That's the artifact of a failed system.
That's the archaeological evidence of a marriage under logistical strain. And what makes Daniel's question timely is that he and his wife are both on Android. There's no Apple ecosystem here, no shared reminders app. No, it just works because we both bought the same expensive rectangle. They're in the open market, and the open market is a mess of apps that all claim to solve this, but almost none of them actually nail the one thing he's asking for.
The NFC tag idea is fascinating because he's already identified the problem with it. He says right in the prompt, "less practical as we'd need many tags." That's the correct instinct. But there's a version of that idea that's actually brilliant, and we'll get to it.
But first, I want to sit with what this is really about, because it's not just grocery logistics. It's about the gap between we have a system and we actually use the system. And that gap is where the milk carton sits empty.
The spec Daniel laid out is deceptively simple. You read it and think, sure, any grocery app can do that. But when you break it down, he's asking for five specific things that have to work together seamlessly. Shared between two Android devices, no account friction, a persistent staples list, one tap, we're out, that feed the dynamic shopping list, and a way to mark things purchased. Most apps do three of those well. Almost none do all five.
The We're Out button specifically is the unicorn. It's not just adding an item to a list, it's toggling a state. The milk isn't just on the list. It's normally in stock, and now it's not. That's a database design question dressed up as a grocery app.
It's a Boolean flag on a master record. Has milk equals false. But consumer apps don't think in Booleans. They think in one-off list entries that disappear when you check them off. The whole paradigm is built around buy this once, not restock this recurring staple.
Which is why the NFC tag idea Daniel floated is such a perfect red herring. He already knows it's impractical. You need 30 to 50 tags for a full pantry. They're $1 to $3 each, and the adhesive fails the moment it touches a cold milk jug or a freezer bag.
The condensation problem alone. NFC tags and refrigerator surfaces are not friends.
There's one genuinely useful NFC use case buried in there, and it's the fridge door. One tag, at eye level, programmed to open the shared list directly. No app hunting, no search. Just tap, and you're in.
That single tag salvages the whole idea. The rest of the pantry tagging fantasy collapses under its own weight.
Here's the roadmap. We'll warp through the top contenders. Bring, any list, Google Keep, our groceries, Listonic. Against Daniel's spec, then build a hybrid recommendation that actually works.
Let's start with Bring, because on paper it comes closest to what Daniel described. It has this low button on every item. You open the app, you see your staples, you tap the button, and that item jumps to your shopping list.
Then you tap it twice by accident, and suddenly you're buying two cartons of oat milk nobody asked for.
That's exactly the problem. The low button isn't a toggle. It's a one-way ad. There's no state tracking. The app doesn't know milk is already on the shopping list, so if you tap it again, you get a duplicate entry. It's not a bug exactly, but it reveals that the feature was designed as a shortcut to add items, not as a "we're out" flag.
The thing that looks like a "we're out" button is actually just a "put this on the list" button wearing a costume.
And Bring also requires account creation, email, password, the whole routine. It's cloud dependent, so if you're in a grocery store with spotty reception, good luck. No offline first sync. Your list lives on their servers, not on your phone.
Which is fine until it isn't. The moment you need the list and you're in a basement level supermarket with one bar of signal, you're suddenly shopping from memory.
Memory is how we got here in the first place. Now, the dark horse in this race is our groceries. I'll be honest, the interface looks like it was designed in 2012 and nobody's touched it since. But under the hood, it's doing something clever.
This is the one with the secret code, right?
You install it, you create a list, and to share it, you generate a 4-digit code. Your wife enters the same code on her phone, and that's it. The lists are linked. No accounts, no email verification, no cloud dependency. It syncs peer-to-peer when both devices are online, but the data lives locally. If you're offline, you can still see and edit your list, and it syncs the moment you reconnect.
It's the "we don't need to know who you are" approach to grocery coordination. I respect that.
The privacy posture is better than most. No ad network analyzing your shopping habits, no purchase data being packaged and sold. The trade-off is that the Staples concept is manual. There's no native "we're out" button. What you do instead is create two lists, one called Pantry with all your staples and one called Shopping. When you run out of something, you open Pantry, find the item, and there's an option to copy it to the shopping list.
It's two taps instead of one. That's the gap between the ideal and the real.
Two taps, and you have to remember which list you're in. But the sync is bulletproof, and there's one feature I haven't mentioned, custom sort order. You can arrange your shopping list to match the actual layout of your grocery store. Produce first, then dairy, then canned goods, then frozen. When you're walking the aisles, the list follows the store.
That's the kind of thing that sounds trivial until you've zigzagged across a supermarket 3 times, because your list is in alphabetical order.
Now, if our groceries is the dark horse, Google Keep is the "we already have this installed" option. Share checklists, real-time sync, zero setup friction because everyone with an Android phone already has a Google account. You create a note, add checkboxes, share it with your wife, and you're done.
The "we're out" mechanism is, you uncheck the box?
You uncheck the box, which is not a "we're out" button, it's a manual reset. And Keep has no categorization, no store mode, no Staples concept at all. It's a blank piece of paper that happens to sync. If you're disciplined, it works. If you're not, your grocery list slowly becomes a graveyard of half-checked items and abandoned notes from 3 months ago.
It's the Toyota Corolla of grocery apps. Not exciting, but it starts every time.
Then there's Listonic, which is interesting because it actually has a favorite section that functions as a Staples list. One tap adds a favorite to your active shopping list. It's the closest thing to a smart list in the free tier. It can even auto-categorize items into dairy, produce, bakery, and so on. The free tier has ads, and list sharing is restricted. You can share, but the experience is clunky. Your wife might see different ads, different layouts, and the sync isn't as seamless as our groceries or Keep. It feels like an app that wants you to upgrade to premium, and the free version is just functional enough to frustrate you.
Which brings us to AnyList.
AnyList is excellent if you own an iPhone. It does meal planning, grocery lists, recipe import, the full package. But the Android version is a ghost. Feature incomplete, buggy, and the Play Store reviews are brutal. For an Android-only household like Daniel's, it's not even in the running.
We've got 5 apps, and not one of them has a true "we're out" button. Bring comes closest and fumbles on the toggle. Our groceries has the best sync, but requires a workaround. Keep is frictionless, but featureless. Listolic dangles smart features behind a paywall. And AnyList forgot Android exists.
That's the app landscape. But Daniel also raised the NFC tag question, and I want to give that a proper autopsy because it's one of those ideas that sounds like the future until you actually try to live with it.
The fantasy is compelling. Every item in your pantry has a little sticker. You finish the peanut butter, tap your phone to the jar, and it's on the list. No typing, no searching, no forgetting.
Then reality walks in. A pack of 30 NFC tags costs you somewhere between $30 and $90 depending on quality. For a full pantry, we're talking spices, condiments, dry goods, freezer items, you'd need 40 or 50 tags easy. That's $150 just to sticker your kitchen.
Half of them fall off within a week because you stuck one to a cold milk jug and the condensation turned the adhesive into soup. Or you put one on a bag of frozen peas and the adhesive just gives up at low temperature. NFC tags are not engineered for the inside of a refrigerator.
The physics of it is actually kind of funny. Most NFC stickers use acrylic adhesive, which loses tack below about 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Your freezer is at zero. That tag is not staying put.
You've spent $150 to litter your kitchen with tiny fallen-off stickers. But even if the adhesion problem were solved, there's a deeper issue, the cognitive overhead. Tapping a tag on a milk jug means you have to find the milk jug, locate the tag on it, and bring your phone to it. Or you could just tap the screen of the phone that's already in your hand.
The tag adds a physical step to a digital action. It's not reducing friction, it's relocating it. And relocating friction to a thing you have to walk across the kitchen to find is not an improvement.
Here's where I think Daniel's instinct was actually pointing at something real. He floated NFC and immediately doubted it, which tells me he's not looking for gimmicks. He's looking for the one place where physical triggers actually reduce friction. And that place is the fridge door.
This is the single NFC use case that works. One tag, stuck to the fridge at eye level, programmed to open your shared grocery list directly. You finish the last egg, you walk to the fridge to put the carton in the recycling, you tap your phone on the tag on your way, and the list is open. No unlocking, no app drawer, no search. It's a $2 shortcut that saves you 5 seconds every single time.
Those 5 seconds are where the habit either forms or dies. Which brings us to the uncomfortable truth behind all of this. The app is not the hard part.
No, it's really not. The hard part is remembering to mark something as out in the exact moment you use the last of it. Not when you're standing in the dairy aisle squinting at your phone trying to remember if you have butter at home. The habit has to fire at the point of consumption.
That's a behavioral design problem, not a software problem. You can have the most elegant app in the world. And if both partners don't build the reflex to mark things immediately, the system collapses back into empty cartons and passive-aggressive texts.
What's interesting is that the "we're out" button Daniel described is actually a database pattern hiding in plain sight. He wants a persistent master list, the staples, where each item has a Boolean flag, needs restocking, true or false. When you run out of milk, you flip the flag. The shopping list is just a filter view of every item where that flag is true.
That's it. That's the whole thing. One table, one Boolean column, and a query. And yet not a single consumer grocery app implements it that way.
Because the app stores reward feature accumulation. More buttons, more categories, more meal planning integrations. Nobody wins downloads by saying, we do one thing with one Boolean. But that Boolean is exactly what Daniel's asking for.
While we're on what the apps miss, let's talk about what happens when you're actually in the store. Most of these apps give you a flat list. Milk, bread, eggs, cilantro, chicken, oatmeal. You're zigzagging across the store because the list doesn't know the layout.
This is where our groceries has a genuine hidden superpower. Custom sort order. You arrange the list once to match your store. Produce at the top, then bakery, then deli, then dairy, then canned goods, then frozen. Every trip after that, you just work top to bottom.
It's the kind of feature you don't appreciate until you've spent 10 minutes hunting for the one item that was buried in the middle of an unsorted list while your ice cream melts in the cart.
There's one more thing we should flag, and it's privacy. Bring and Listonic have ad-supported free tiers. That means your shopping data, what you buy, how often, what brands, is potentially being analyzed and packaged. It's how they make money.
Our groceries and Google Keep have much cleaner privacy postures. Our groceries doesn't even want your email address. Keep is Google, so there's always the broader data collection question, but they're not specifically monetizing your grocery list.
For a lot of people, that won't matter. But if you're the kind of person who'd rather not have your almond milk preferences fed into an ad network, it's worth knowing which apps stay out of your business. What do you actually do on Monday morning? Here's the concrete recommendation. Our groceries for the shared list engine, plus one NFC tag on the fridge. That's the lowest friction combo for an Android-only household, and it costs you about $2 beyond free.
Our groceries wins on sync reliability. It wins on privacy by not even asking who you are. And that custom sort order is the thing you'll quietly love every single time you shop. The interface looks like a time capsule, but you stop noticing after 3 days.
Here's the setup, step by step. Both of you install our groceries. One of you creates two lists, call one Staples and the other Shopping. Go into the Staples list and add everything you regularly buy. Milk, eggs, bread, olive oil, coffee, whatever your household runs on. Then hit Share, generate that 4-digit code, and the other person enters it. That's it. You're synced.
The We're Out workflow is, open the Staples list, tap the item, select Add to Shopping List. Not the one tap toggle Daniel was dreaming of, but it's reliable and it never creates duplicates.
Now the behavioral piece, and this is where the NFC tag earns its keep. Stick one tag on the fridge at eye level. Program it to open our groceries directly. The rule is simple. If you take the last of something, you tap the tag and mark it before you do anything else.
The tag eliminates the I'll do it in a second death spiral. You're already at the fridge pulling the empty carton away. Your phone is in your hand or your pocket. Tap, open, two taps, done. That's the habit loop forming in real time.
If our groceries feels too dated for your taste, the fallback is Google Keep. Create a shared checklist called Shopping. Create a pin note called Staples as your reference, and when something runs out, you manually uncheck it in Shopping or re-add it from Staples. It's less elegant, but the setup friction is zero because you both already have it.
That's the real test. The best system isn't the one with the most features. It's the one you both actually use when you're tired, distracted, and holding an empty oat milk carton. Here's the open question I keep coming back to. Will any app ever actually build the true We're Out button? It's one Boolean, Herman. One column in a database. And yet nobody's done it.
The economics are brutal. Grocery list apps are a terrible business. Most people won't pay for them, so you're stuck with ads or data monetization. Building the perfect We're Out toggle doesn't get you more downloads than adding meal planning or recipe import. Feature creep wins the App Store, not elegant minimalism.
Which means the one feature that would actually change how couples coordinate their kitchen is perpetually stuck on nobody's roadmap because it doesn't screenshot well.
Here's the thing that makes me optimistic in the long run. The We're Out button might not need to be a button at all. Smart fridges are getting better. Computer vision is advancing fast. There's a world coming where your fridge notices you took the last egg and adds it to the list automatically.
The fridge as the ultimate snitch. It's been watching you this whole time, and now it's telling your spouse you finished the hummus.
We're not there yet. The cameras are still expensive, the object recognition still gets confused by a half-empty yogurt container. But the trajectory is real. In 5 or 10 years, the We're Out problem might solve itself from the hardware side.
Until then, the best system is the one you both actually use when nobody's watching. And that means setting it up this weekend, not waiting for the perfect app that may never ship.
Here's the call to action. Install our groceries, build your Staples list, stick that NFC tag on the fridge, and agree on the rule. If you finish it, you tap it.
If that doesn't stick, fall back to Google Keep and don't feel bad about it. The goal isn't elegance. It's never having to text. Are we out of butter again?
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the early 1500s, Spanish explorers in what is now Suriname attributed the navigation skills of local peoples to a mythical compass stone, a claim later corrected by Dutch cartographers who documented that the wayfinding was done entirely by reading wave patterns, wind direction, and seabird behavior, no stone involved.
A compass stone.
That's a good reminder that when you don't understand a system, you invent a magic rock to explain it.
Which is basically what we've been doing with grocery apps for years. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosting deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.